Hello, and thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
The children, as they go to kids' church today, and thank you for the children. Thank you for you, Lord, that you're with us. And you're going to speak to us now through your living word, which we thank you for in advance. In Jesus' name. Well, my mom told me another joke this morning, since you may have heard it. If you have, act like you haven't. But there was this man and his wife were having a conversation, and she says to him, she says, "Honey, if I died, would you marry again?" And he said, "Well, marriage has been such a wonderful thing. I probably would." And she said, "Well, then your new wife, would you allow her to drive my car?" He said, "Yeah, I probably would." He said, she said, "Well, would you allow her to, drive my personal golf cart in the villages?" And he said, "Well, yeah, I probably would." And then she said, "Would you allow her to use my golf clubs?" And he said, "Absolutely not." And she said, she kind of smiled. She said, "Well, why?" He said, "Well, she's left-handed." Don't presume that you know what's going to happen in 2018. A few hours, 2017 will be over with. 2018 will take over. And without any striving on our part, the calendar changes. Life is changing. God says in His Word, "I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans to do good to you, not evil." And our part is to discover His plans. We all would like to know, what's next, God? What are you doing? What is the very next thing that is on your plan for my life? And actually, if you were given a blueprint, if God reached out of heaven and gave you a blueprint of your life, you may think, "Boy, that's just what I'm asking for. That's just what I want to know." But that'd probably be the worst thing that ever happened. If God would give you a blueprint and show you everything's going to happen in your life and this next year and all that, it would be an absolute disaster. It's really a great thing that He keeps most of it hidden from us. And He does that because He hides His plans for you in His heart. And for you to be able to know them is that you have to have an intimate relationship with the Father. And He shares them with you only as you co-labor with Him, as you hook up to the double yoke. Only then, as you walk with Him by faith day by day, through disappointments, through unexpected things, when you walk with God in your daily walk, then you discover, then His plans begin to unfold. And that's how He's designed it. He's designed that you and I have to be dependent upon Him. We have to walk with God. We have to walk by faith if we're going to fulfill the plans that He has for us. And this is daily. God shows you His presence, and you have encounters and experiences with God in your day-to-day life, rather than you just running off on your own. If you were given the blueprints and you knew what God had planned, you'd more than likely just run off without Him and try to fulfill all that yourself. But you need Him. And God has made us that way. And it's important for us to understand that God's plans for your life, most of the time, He doesn't tell you everything's going to happen. It unfolds one day at a time. And another thing that's very important, and I've heard it a couple times this morning already in the service and in prayer, an important lesson as we get ready to move into 2018, it's important to remember Jesus' three-word sermon, which was a warning sermon. And it's important to remember that three-word sermon of Jesus as we get ready to step into 2018. And the three-word sermon was this: remember Lot's wife. Jesus preached that. That was a sermon, and he preached it without explaining anything. He just said, remember Lot's wife, who we know did not get into her future because she was holding on to her past. You can't go into the future like this. You've got to let go of that and turn around and go into 2018. So just some good counsel from Jesus' own words that we need to not lose our future by letting go of the past. Letting go of regret. Boy, I wish I'd have done this past year. Letting go of guilt. I'm sorry that I did what I did. Shame. Let go of the past so you can move into your future. The enemy, our enemy, Christ's enemy, your enemy, wants you to agree with him. And most Christians are stuck. Most Christians, I find this is true in any type of counseling situation, most Christians are stuck in some area of their life where they've not forgiven somebody and moved on. There's usually, you talk to them, oh yeah, there's somebody. Even back from childhood, or maybe a divorce you went through, or maybe something your kids did or your parents did. And people will say things to reveal that they haven't forgiven by saying, well, you know, so-and-so hurt me. So-and-so hurt my feelings. Or I was hurt by this or that they did. And the point is, they're never going to go into their future like this. They're still holding on to that because they talk about it. And they can say, oh, I've forgiven. But if in a place where they can feel safe and they talk about it, they reveal they haven't. It's still there. The more mature thing would be to say, not so-and-so hurt my feelings, but I got my feelings hurt. I got my feelings hurt. Yeah, so-and-so did, but I got my feelings hurt over it. But now I'm going to have to decide, now how am I going to deal with this? Rather than waiting for them to get convicted and come apologize to me so this thing can be over with. You may wait until the Lord comes back. And so you're sitting there just waiting, you know, when they apologize to me, then it'll be, No, you're supposed to be more mature than that, and you should say, okay, I got my feelings hurt. And now how am I going to get over it? I'm speaking to somebody today in this room who right now you ask God for a word and he's giving you a word. And he's saying, okay, now you deal with your responsibility. Don't sit around waiting for them to accept responsibility of something you think they need to do. Amen, oh me. So everything God has for you and me is in the future. Everything that God has for us is in the future. And New Year's is a good time to close the books on the old and open up a new chapter, a new page, a fresh page. It's a new day. It's a new year. And we're going to start fresh and we're going to start new. And we're going to leave the past in the past, close the books on that, and move forward into the future. So if you're a Christian, if you're born from above, if you receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, not just believe in him, but you've received him, then you have the ability to live remarkably different than people who don't know the Lord. Supernaturally, you have an ability that the lost world doesn't have. And that ability is that you may have some of the same issues and the problems that the world has, but you have supernatural grace and ability to deal with them in a way that's totally unnatural. In fact, you may have greater problems than some of the lost people in the world. And what happens is that God has you where you are and the issues you're dealing with and all that, so that you can find grace from Him to deal with whatever these problems are and make the world that doesn't know Jesus jealous. They become jealous of you and they say, well, you know what? You've got less money than I do, but you're happier than I am. You're driving an old clunker car, it breaks down, and yet, you know, I'm over here and I'm just not happy, and yet you got joy. You go through this issue and that issue, you've been in and out of the hospital, you had health issues and all this and that, but you have a peace and a joy that I don't have, and I'm healthy. So they become jealous when they look at the Christians, primarily when we go through trials. That's when the world's really watching us. How are you dealing with a rebellious child? How are you dealing with difficulties? How are you dealing with a lack of finances? How are you dealing with health issues? Sometimes Christians have even greater problems than the lost world. Can I get an amen from somebody who knows that by personal experience? But what is the difference is this. When you get saved, born from above, the Spirit of God now comes and lives inside my physical body while I'm here on this earth. That literally, physically, spiritually, truly happens. The Spirit of God now is living in me. And I become like an American embassy that's on foreign soil. I'm here on earth living amongst hostile enemies. I'm living in the world that does not like me, that doesn't like the name of Jesus. The only place where I'm around other people that are like-minded is the church. The world doesn't really want anything to do with Jesus. So I'm like an American embassy now living in hostile territory. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. And sometimes, like an American embassy, there can be fighting and rioting and arguing and striving and attempts even to attack that American embassy from the outside. But on the inside that American embassy, there's peace. Inside the American embassy, there may be war on the outside. They may be about to attack us. They may be about to bomb us. But on the inside, we get along. On the inside, there's peace. On the inside, there's government. On the inside, God is ruling on the inside of me. While on the outside of me, I may be being attacked. Can you understand? So when you're born from above, you become like that. You're like that embassy. The embassy is the kingdom of God. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's in you. And Jesus described, or the word of God describes the kingdom of God like this way. The kingdom of God's not made up of a list of what kind of food you eat, what kind of food you don't eat, and a list of things you do, and a list of things that you don't do, the way you dress, the Bible you read, the church you go to. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink. But the kingdom of God, the scripture says in Romans, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom is the government of God. Where the government of God is, the government of God is not a list of behaviors, the things you do on the outside, but where the kingdom of God is, there's righteousness with God. You're made right with God, and there is peace with God, and peace from God, and there's joy in the Holy Spirit. I just said that same scripture, paraphrased. Where the kingdom of God is, where the embassy of God is, in that embassy, there's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Last week, we celebrated Christmas. And the scripture, one of the scriptures we used was out of Isaiah, prophesying that when the Messiah would come, unto us a child is born. Jesus was born. He's God in the flesh. A son was given on our behalf. Jesus is God's gift to us. He came as a mature son of God at 33 and died on the cross to pay for my sin. That was God giving the Lamb of God to save the world. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, is the son that's given. And notice, this is a new kingdom. Remember when Jesus was born? They said, where is he who's born King of the Jews? He brought a kingdom. Not a physical kingdom like Herod was worried about. It was an invisible kingdom. And during Jesus' preaching at age 30 to 33, he began by preaching the kingdom. The kingdom is not something you go over here and see. It's not something you go over here and touch. It's invisible. He said it's within you. And this kingdom has a government because there's a king. And notice the government of this kingdom is on his shoulder. It was prophesied 700 years before. And the increase of his government and his what?
Peace.
And his what?
Peace.
So wherever his government increases, his peace increases. When the kingdom is increasing in your life, and the kingdom's always increasing according to your faith. When you get a word from God, faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. When you get a word from God, that's God intending for your faith to increase. And of the increase of his government and his peace, there's no end. There's no limit. It's the peace that passes all understanding. How can you have peace when you've been told you have cancer? How can you have peace when you're going through this trial? How can you have peace with all the trouble that's going on in your life? Because of the increase of his government and his peace. There's no limit. There's a limit to the world's peace, but there's no limit. And it's the zeal of the Lord that'll perform it. God does this, not you. God creates this. God makes this happen. And the Lord himself performs. He increases his government in your life. He increases his peace in your life. One of the main identity markers where you can recognize an embassy of the kingdom of God here on earth. One of the main ways you can recognize a true born-again child of God. The main identity marker is this. They have God's peace. They have God's peace. That's the thing that you can see manifested in a child of God. You want to know a true child of God? They'll have the peace of God there. A true embassy of God, there's the peace of God there. Regardless of what's going on, but especially during a trial, during an unexpected circumstance, maybe even a tragedy. And it's the zeal of the Lord. It's the power of the Lord. It's the love of God. It's the grace of God that produces this contrary to your mind. Because your mind will say, I have no reason to have peace right now, but I have peace. I have no reason to have joy right now, but somehow in the inside of me, I still have joy. I know something good is going to come out of this. And a Christian, a true Christian, is one who stays calm and cool and collected. Oh, they may lose their peace for a moment, but they get it back real quick. And they get back into the calm and the cool because God is on the throne. The embassy of God is here. The government of God is now ruling in my life. Are you with me? So God has commanded us as a result of his gift of his presence, Jesus living inside of us. Now you got to be born again. He lives in me. He's not out there. He's in me. And once that happens, now God commands a born-again child of God. He commands him, do not worry. Amen. Are we reading the same Bible? He commands you, do not fear anything. He commands you. Don't worry. Don't fear. In fact, he said, don't even take an anxious thought. Is that what he says? Are we reading the same Bible? Are we born again? Does God command us that or not?
Yes.
He tells us not to doubt him whatsoever.
Yes.
Don't have an anxious thought. Is that hard for you to believe? Who lives this way? Not many. Even though God has commanded it. Where my kingdom is, where my embassy is, there's to be the land of no fear. Inside the walls of my kingdom, there's to be no doubt. Inside the walls of my kingdom, there's to be absolutely no worry. Inside the walls of my kingdom, there's absolutely to be no anxiety whatsoever. Well, Lord, I know you know this, but I've already blown it. Okay. Then get off the throne that I'm supposed to be sitting on and let me back on it. Because his word hasn't changed, and he's not going to change his word to accommodate you.
Amen.
Who like to worry, who like to fear, and who it's become a habit. God's commanded it. And he expects his government and his decrees to be carried out by his people.
Amen.
Now, this does not mean we'll never have a reason to worry. It does not mean we'll never have a reason to be afraid. It does not mean we won't ever have a reason to be anxious, because in the natural world, you will.
Yeah.
Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
But be of good cheer, I've overcome it. So it doesn't mean that you, well, you know, when everything's going right and life is a beach and you and all the bills are paid and everybody's healthy and fine. Well, hey, why doesn't everybody live like this? No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that God not only commands us, but he gives us the grace to be able to walk it out. Doesn't mean that you won't have a good reason. In your mind, your warfare is more mental than it is in the natural. When Israel invaded, God told them, I've given you this promised land. Moses dies, Joshua is the leader, he's leading the people over into the promised land. What was the promised land? It was a land that God promised them. Who was living there? Giants, people that hated Israel. Listen, when Israel crossed the Jordan River and came into the promised land, there wasn't a welcome party from all the people there said, oh, we're glad you're here. They said, this is our land and you're not coming. They had battle after battle. They had giant after giant. They had to deal with issues. That people would attack them. People hated them. God purposely put his people in a land that he knew that they would have to believe God and trust God and fight the good fight of faith in order to be able to stay there. It would be perfectly natural, since you got in the promised land and you see all these people here, let's just say that one of you hated me and you didn't want me here. It'd be perfectly natural to say, well, I'm getting out of here. I ain't staying here. Ain't no promised land to me. I'd rather go back over here and not have to deal with all this. Are you starting to get a picture of your life? Yeah, there's going to be issues. Yeah, there's going to be problems. But here's what God told them, and the same thing he tells us. He says in Deuteronomy 31, he says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for it's the Lord your God who goes with you. He'll not fail you, nor forsake you. Does that sound vaguely familiar or something Jesus has said? Don't fear. Commanding them, don't fear. Don't be afraid of them. I know they look bigger and they got more weapons and they got more know-how and they got more knowledge, they got more capability, and there's more of them than you and all. I know all that. But I'm with you. I said, I am with you. Don't ever forget that. I'll never leave you. I'll never abandon you. I'll never forsake you. Now, God, is that all you're giving us? I mean, I'm with you, and yep. Believe me, believe my word. Go in and take the land. Psalm 29, verse 11, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. How does God do this? How does God strengthen his people? How does God give us peace? By giving you his word. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Is that it, God? I mean, how about some army? How about some weapons? I'm with you. This is what you need now. I am with you. That's what Christmas was all about. God with us. Everything changed. God is now here. God is now here. And I got to believe here that God is here. I got to make this believe. God is here even when I don't have goosebumps. Even when I don't see any sign. Even when I don't hear anything. I want to tell you the greatest weapon that the enemy uses against you, the greatest weapon the enemy uses against you is your mouth. Your own mouth. And the greatest weapon you can use against the enemy is your mouth. Speaking what God says, rather than confessing your fears or your doubts, or your worries. I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how we're going to pay this bill. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know. Shut up. Somebody needs to tell you, shut up. It'd be best if you tell yourself that. Shut up. And the devil is running loose in your house with worry and fear and doubt. And he keeps talking a good talk and building a good game. And you're listening to him like you're watching television. And you're going, oh my, oh my, oh my. And your fears increase. And your worries increase. And your doubts increase. And you're starting to magnify fears rather than magnify God. What are your words? I'm telling you, the devil's greatest weapon against you is your own mouth. Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Most High. Abide under the shadow of the Lord, of the Almighty. Where is the secret place of God in believers? That's a question. Where? Yeah. Right here. You don't see him, so it's a secret. People may not see him, but he's there. Wherever I go, he's there. He is in his secret place in me. And therefore, the next verse says, put your head on your forehead. Because I believe this, speak it out. I will say of the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You say it. If that's true that he lives in here, and I believe it, then I speak it. Listen to what you've been saying. It tells you what you really believe. Practical application. Let's say, God forbid, but let's say the doctor says this year, you got cancer. Oh, okay. I mean, I'm not going to deny that the doctor did a test and he discovered cancer. Okay. So what are you going to do now? Well, I'm born again. Jesus lives in me. I'm going to take authority over it. See? And I'm going to take authority over the fear that tried to capture me that moment I heard the C word. And God and I will deal with this, and he'll show me how to deal with it. Amen. He's my shepherd. See, your part is this. Now, you've got to get serious, maybe more than you've ever been in your life. Attack has come against your body. Satan wants to take you out. Wants to torment you first with fear and doubt. So you need to lock yourself up with God, and you need to feed your eyes on the Word of God. Feed your ears on the Word of God. Feed your heart on the Word of God, and block out all this other stuff and listen to what God has to say. But some people who even claim to be believers won't do this. They get a report from the doctor and they run with fear. Uh-oh, I got to run to this doctor, and I got to run to this doctor, and I got to do this, and I'm going to, oh, God, will you help me? I'm praying on the run, you know what I mean? I got to do this, and I got to do that. I understand the fear. God understands the fear. But what you don't understand is that fear is a spirit, not from God. God's not given us a spirit of fear. He has given us power, love, and a sound mind, but if you won't use it, fear will drive you crazy. Fear will torment you to death. Fear will run you ragged. And what you have to do is you have to stop feeding your fears. You're looking at the doctor report more than you are going to God and looking at his word. You're focusing on the negative. You're focusing on what they say in the natural. It may be a fact. I'm not denying that. You may have cancer. You may need certain treatments. You may need to, but let God be the one to show you what to do. See, the fact is that, yeah, you may have cancer, but the truth trumps facts. The truth is, it says, by his stripes you were healed. And when you claim the truth, it comes and puts the facts under your feet, see, where it belongs. Now, I'm in charge of this. The kingdom of God lives inside of me, and of the increase of his government and peace, there's no end. And I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to listen to the word of God. I'm going to feed my eyes and feed my ears, and I'm going to watch my words, and I'm going to listen to God, and he's my shepherd. He's my healer. He's going to show me what to do. And what's the worst thing could happen? Well, Well, Jesus, I thought you were going to heal me down there on earth. I was going around, but boy, I'm really disappointed I'm in heaven right now. I bet you that's one thing you don't hear in heaven. I'm really disappointed. And listen, it is a fight. Fear is a fight with the enemy of your soul. And sometimes, you know, when you get a bad report or you get things happen to you and you're trying hard not to worry, not to fear, you know, and it's like when you finally get home at night and you finally lay down and you try to go to sleep, you know, and you even confess scripture, you read the word before, and all of a sudden, about the time you get, and then all those worrisome, fearful thoughts start coming back on you. Can I get a witness from somebody? And then next thing you know, you're playing a movie in your mind about, and then you finally snap out of it. Wait a minute. And then you make quote scripture out. I've had to do this sometimes all through the night. You know, worry come back up on you. Fear tries to seize you again. And you may even have to wake up and say, well, I'll just quote scripture. And you quote scripture as best you can, and you're tired. And you fight this thing almost all night long. I mean, there may be some sleepless nights. And here's one thing, a little secret that I've personally discovered, and maybe you already know this, but sometimes, you know, you can't fight the devil's thoughts. I don't know how he can suggest those thoughts to your mind, but he's able to do it pretty good. But you can't fight the devil's thoughts with thoughts. You can't just fight the devil with a thought. I mean, you can quote scripture in your mind, all that, but you can't fight when you're laying in bed at night and you're trying to go to sleep and worry starts creeping in on you again and fear starts to seize you again. You know, you can't just try to think it away. You have to have something. It's like this. Let's suppose you were in an argument with somebody, not your spouse, okay, but you were in an argument. And, you know, this person just keeps talking and arguing, and they're out arguing you, you know. And they're winning the argument. And you can't seem to even try to get a point across without them. They're just out arguing you. And you know what you need to do at that moment? You need to pull out a gun and go, bam! Not literally. But you know, like in the Western movies, you know, they come in the saloon and these guys are fighting and they're brawling. Everybody's fighting. And the sheriff comes in and he says, knock it off. And they're still fighting and squalling and beating up one another. Finally, he pulls out a gun and goes, bam, bam. He got their attention. What I'm trying to say with you that sometimes you got to do this with the devil. Bam, bam. Before he'll shut up. That means you don't do that with your thinking. You do it with your mouth, your weapon. It is written, God's not giving me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And actually, the louder, the better. The louder the gun, the better. You don't want a little cap gun. Boop. You want to bam. And he'll come back at you with another thing. And you said, oh, it's written. My God is with me. He's for me. And the devil is defeated. He's going to the lake of fire. I mean, what you're doing is, come on, hold your hand up. You're doing this. Come on, say it. Yeah. Now you're getting ready for this week. See? You're going to have some fear come at you. You're going to have unexpected bill. You might get, you know, a bad report here and there, whatever it comes to your way, and you're going to need to go. Come on. Especially at nighttime when you're trying to sleep. You can't do it with a thought. You have to speak it out loud, forcibly, with your mouth. And the point is, you can't outthink the devil sometimes. But I find most Christians, now you guys are participating really well this morning, I appreciate that. But honestly, when it comes down to the rubber hitting the road, most Christians look like this. Next. That's what most, I'm serious. When bad news happens, their gun wasn't even loaded. They didn't have one scripture hidden in their heart. In fact, their Bible sitting on the shelf got so much dust it'd make you cough if they went over and pulled it off. That gun ain't loaded. And the devil knows your gun ain't loaded. He ain't afraid of you. Why would you be afraid of somebody that's got an unloaded gun? And this most Christians. I know it's funny, but that's really most Christians. And maybe, just maybe, they might be a little bit more prepared than the other, but they only got one bullet. Well, one bullet's better than no bullet if the gun's loaded. But you got to know how to use it. You ought to have more than one bullet. More than one scripture. It's already committed to memory, that you don't have to go get the Bible and look it up. You already got it hidden in your heart. It's a weapon. You have a concealed weapons permit. You need to use it. 2018, you're going to need to use it. I'm not trying to make you afraid. I'm trying to get you prepared. Get ready. You know what's coming. Don't just walk around with a bullet in your pocket. Get more than one bullet. So, and in coming to church, you know, what's the purpose of church? Church is so that we come together as a community of believers. This is a great big embassy. And we come together, we don't have to be afraid of what somebody's thinking about us or, you know, about believing in God and singing and praising and worshiping God. We all agree here. Jesus is Lord. His word is the final authority. So when we come together as a community of believers, if a brother or sister is going through a trial, then the believers should gather around them and kind of give them, say, hey, you need some more bullets? Here, here's some here. Oh, this, I've been through that. Here's a bullet that works really good at that one. Here's a bullet to deal with fear. Here's a bullet to deal with worry. Here's a bullet, and you got them. But the believers have to come together. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:6, it says, so we may take comfort and encourage and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I'll not fear, I'll not dread. And I won't be terrified what man can do. What's the worst thing can happen? Well, Lord, I'm so disappointed I'm in heaven. That's the worst. That's the worst thing to happen. Bible says there's no fear in love. God is perfect love. Bible says perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. God does not want his people who are going to experience giants, who are going to experience reasons to fear, who are going to experience reasons to worry, who are going to experience all kinds of troubles and issues in this life. God does not want you to be afraid of anything, worry about anything, or even have an anxious thought. That's why I commanded it. Because if he just suggested it, you'd say, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. No, he commanded it. And you either obey that or you don't. Yes, sir. I'm going to worry. If I worry, I repent of it right now. God, forgive me. And I was so foolish to think that I was sitting on the throne of my own life. Or I was so foolish to think the devil was sitting on the throne of my life. No, you're on the throne of my life. I will say of the Lord, He is my helper. I'll say it. See, when you're walking by faith, you're saying the things that God is saying. Who are you saying them to? Who are you saying the word of God to? To yourself. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You are building your faith when you're speaking the word of God in your own ears. Speaking it out, going in your ears. And you're speaking it to your mountain. You're speaking it to your giants. You're speaking it to the devil. You're speaking it to anybody that's contrary to faith. Fear and panic can be a spiritual attack. A warning. Movies, media that provoke fear, horror movies, can be an entry point of the demonic in your life. Don't open the door. Just because you want a little thrill, just because you wanted to see this movie that everybody's talking about and everything, doesn't mean that you're supposed to see it. One may affect one a certain way, and one may not affect another one the same way as that, but fear is an entry point that sometimes, especially with children, can come through movies and media. Bible says God's not given us a spirit of fear. And Satan's always trying to make your fears bigger than God, than your image of God. Let me give you some more bullets. Here's a good bullet. If you deal with fear or panic, here's a good bullet. Isaiah 26:3, commit it to memory. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Means the word there is shalom, shalom. Covering your left brain, covering your right brain. However you want to look at it. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. That's a bullet. Now, if you need that right now, just reach out by faith and say, I'll take that one. Put it in your holster. Write it down. Memorize it this week. Here's some more bullets for your gun. I want to suggest some scriptures to you. These are bullets. You can write them down. Look them up later. Just write them down or take a picture with your phone real quick of the screen or something. Just get those scriptures down. Those are bullets for you. You can keep that up for a moment. Remember last week I shared with you when Jesus came back from casting out demons out of the most demon-possessed man on the earth at that time, the Gadarene demoniac, and he came back across and then he got on the shore, and the first man that met him was Jairus, who was the synagogue official whose daughter was dying. She had a limited amount of time left. It was crucial that Jairus get to Jesus. He did. Jesus agreed to come to his house to heal his daughter. As they started to go, a woman with the issue of blood stopped Jesus, and now he starts in a conversation with her. Jairus is over here biting his nails off. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Another red light, another red light. Come on. And he biting his nail. We got to hurry up. We got to get to my house. It takes 10 minutes and we got 7 stoplights along the way. Come on, Jesus. And just then, one of the messengers came in and said, don't bother the master any longer. It's too late. She did. And what was Jesus' words? Do you remember? Fear not. Only believe. Because fear was right there. I'll jump on him and torment him. Fear not. Only one thing. Believe. So evidently, faith is stronger than fear. Another version says it this way. Jesus said, don't be seized with alarm. Don't be struck with fear. Only keep on believing. Jairus had some degree of faith because he came to Jesus. But his faith must have been limited because now his daughter has died. He thought, well, it's no good. My faith is no good now. And Jesus said, no, don't fear, Jairus. Keep on believing. Stay in faith even when the worst news happens. Don't cave into fear. Don't cave into your flesh. Don't cave into the natural. Keep on believing, church. Keep on trusting. God is working even when things haven't turned out like you expected. Here's what Jesus had to say about that. He said in John 14, 27, he said, peace I leave with you. My own peace I give to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful, cowardly, and unsettled. You need to chew on that one. Because panic and worry and fear is a sign that the flesh has gained back control. When peace rules, the Prince of Peace is governing the embassy. Don't have time to get into it. My time's about up. Revelation 21 gives a list of people who are going to be in hell. Revelation 21 gives a list of people who are going to be in hell. At the very beginning of this list, it includes whoremongers, it includes murderers, it includes sorcerers and liars and all this kind of stuff. At the beginning of this list of people going to hell, it says the fearful and unbelieving. The fearful and unbelieving. I'm not saying that if you have fear, you're going to hell. I'm saying that that is a characteristic of people who are not of faith. That's why God commands us as people of faith to use our faith, speak our faith, apply our faith. In Revelation 19, you don't need to turn there, 11 and verse 13. Jesus is seen on a white horse. He's coming back to earth. And the Bible calls him in verse 11 and verse 13, calls him faithful and true. Jesus is called faithful and true. And then he's called the Word of God. You didn't get that. The Word of God is faithful and true. He will do what he said he will do. I like watching cop shows. I guess I'm kind of like a wannabe cop from years ago. Not anymore, but I like the cop shows, and I watch a lot of them, the reality. They're people, you know. And one thing I've noticed is that you can tell right away when somebody has been arrested and done time in jail before. Because when the police tell them, turn around, put your hands behind your back, they don't even say, am I being arrested? They already know. They've been there before. And they just do it kind of casually, you know. They go get in a car. But when somebody has never been to jail, never been arrested, and the cops say, turn around, put your hands behind your back, they say, am I being arrested? No, you're getting a massage. That's what I'd say. I want to massage your shoulders, make you feel better. And so they turn around, they get the hand, and in that moment, man, they start breaking down. My life's over. I mean, they break down and fall to pieces. He said, well, that person's never been arrested before. The one who has been arrested knows the routine. Okay, man. Oh, I'm gonna go. Okay. They're going to go there. They're going to bail out. They're going to go to court. They're going to do all this. I'm trying to get you to see something spiritually. A Christian who's been a Christian more than a year and who has found out in this world you're going to have trouble, just like Jesus said. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome it. Has had the experience of trials and difficulties and disappointments and bad reports and difficult things, tragedies and hard circumstances in life come their way. But they've had enough experience where they just don't fall to pieces anymore, like maybe they did the first time. They're just not afraid. Yeah, we went through it. Yesterday morning, my mom calls us about early in the morning. We having coffee, and my mom calls and says, the toilets are overflowing and the sinks are backing up and water's coming out of the shower. And, so I jump up in emergency mode and run over there and with my little 1 gallon wet vac, you know, and thinking I can solve the problem. And I go in there and I go, whoa, this is big. I mean, this is really big. The whole septic tank system is stopped up and backed up and all, and water pouring out everywhere. And, I was running around in a hurry, getting things done and stuff, and, you know, not really all excited about it at the moment, and might have lost my peace for about 60 seconds. Then I got it back. Well, you know, we've been through this before. This ain't like the first time. We're going to get it back. We'll call the septic tank people. They'll come out there and they'll pump it out, and we'll, you know, it's fine. It's just, it is what it is. In life, there's just going to be some things. You see what I'm trying to say to you? After you've lived a little while in faith, you just don't panic. This is the way God expects us to live. Faith. Trust in God. Even when unexpected things happen to us. And you've got to get control of your feelings. You've got to get control of the, and if you haven't, you've got to do it this year. You've got to get control of your feelings. And you've got to replace fearful thoughts with what the Word of God says. And you may have to shoot your gun off about midnight and scare your spouse. Better go in another room or something, but start speaking scriptures out loud. And the enemy hates that. And it's going to torment him. And after a while, he'll say, you know what? This is no fun anymore. I'll go torment some other person. God has commanded us not to fear. He's commanded us to live fearlessly in a hostile world. And your mind is the only entrance Satan has access to you. Shut the door in his face. You're not welcome here anymore. And if you come in, I'm going to preach to you. And I'll preach to you about the lake of fire that awaits you. I'll preach to you about how you're going to be tormented. I'll preach to you about how Jesus conquered you. I'll preach to you how he defeated death, hell, and the grave, and sickness, and disease, and poverty. I'll preach to you about Jesus. I'll preach to you, devil, till you get converted. The point is, you won't quit. Feelings cannot be allowed to reign in your life. And if you continue to allow that, then you're going to be tormented. You replace feelings that are real with truth. The facts may be there, but the truth is above the facts. Disease may be there, but the truth is above the facts. We walk by truth and live by truth. Would you stand together? And Pam, you have something to add to that? Okay.
Well, I just say we need to sing a little song. Just go ahead and stand up. We're going to sing a little song. I'm going to give you a little tune that I remember singing with our kids. And you may have heard it before. And I'm not a singer, so don't be laughing now. But it's Shut-de-do, keep out the devil. Shut-de-do, keep the devil in the light. Shut-de-do, keep out the devil. Light the candle, everything's all right. Light the candle, everything's all right. Now let's sing it. Shut-de-do, keep out the devil. Shut-de-do, keep the devil in the light. Shut-de-do, keep out the devil. Light the candle, everything's all right. Light the candle, everything's all right. He can't stand the light. He can't stand the light. So let your light shine. And just remember that little tune. I remember singing it with the kids, and it just came to my mind when Pastor just said something. So let's just pray. I didn't know if there's something else you want to say.
Yep, I want us to pray. But especially if you're dealing with fear, that's a very serious thing. It's a spiritual attack. Don't be ashamed, but just say, you know what, I need extra prayer today. I'm dealing with fear, fear of the future, a fear of whatever it may be. Don't be ashamed. Come up here and let us pray with you. It'd be our honor to do so. You don't need to live in fear. Okay, and we're going to pray for you. And we believe that as believers, we encourage one another to be firm in the faith. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the living word. And we receive that word, and it will produce fruit in our lives in 2018. And we thank you for it in advance, sir. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who will remind us of the words of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now we pray today there'll be freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And people will be set free from torment in their minds and a spirit of fear that's been following them around. We pray for freedom and healing in the mind. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, let the church say amen. Okay, then altar workers, you come up front here. We're going to pray with anybody who wants prayer. And if you need to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you come. Because that'll be the greatest.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.